He is not different. He is still a good God. He loves us with an everlasting love. And He has a wonderful plan for every one of us today. Glory to God. So, my name again, Daniel Njoroge Ndungu. A friend of mine, his name is John, came over to Kenya, and he was trying to pronounce my last name. He tried many times until he said Nugu. My name is Ndungu. He said Nugu. Nugu is the name for monkey. So I said, John, how dare you call me monkey, John? You know? Different people have different names. And some of your names are very difficult to pronounce, even for me. But I say there's something good about our names. And that is only if those names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a good thing. Anything else doesn't matter. Amen. So I give God glory for saving my soul. I'm a born-again preacher of the gospel. Before I'm a preacher, I'm a child of God. I gave Jesus my life on the 10th of February, 1986. I opened my doors for Christ. I heard the preaching of the gospel, and I made a choice. I made a personal choice to give Jesus the control of my life. I have no regrets about it. I am so glad that I met Jesus because He has made this so big difference. I am so glad that Jesus set me free. It has been it's been fun to walk with Jesus over these years. The walk has not been without challenges. The walk has not been easy, but it's been fun. A lot of fun to love Him and to serve Him. And that's the delight of my heart even today. I stand here excited about speaking on His behalf. And I desire to say only that which He desires that I say. Glory to God. I'm married to Susan, and we are blessed with 5 kids. 2 boys and 3 beautiful girls. And we have added in our family 4 more children. We've adopted 4 more. So we have 9 children. And we love them so much. Sometimes you would wonder why should I add 4 more children while I'm already overloaded with 5? But really, sometimes you hear the voice of God, you see a need, and God is saying, do something on my behalf. And I simply do it. Sometimes I went out for mission and I met this little orphan, and the Holy Spirit just put it in my heart, take care of him. And I came home with a boy. You know, I appeared before Susan with a baby boy. And part of the reason why I love Susan so much is because she can take what many other women cannot. She can take a baby from the streets and raise him up to become a responsible man. I'm really excited about those children that have been added into my family, because each one of them is turning out to be very responsible. They are these wonderful kids that will just go out of their way and do even what you didn't ask them to do. They will be busy making you happy. And I appreciate God. I'm pastoring a home church in a city called Nakuru, Kenya, and overseeing 13 more that are deep in the forest or in the villages of Kenya. So in total, I oversee 14 churches in Kenya. And I give God the glory. It's a big challenge for me to be out here. This is my second month. I'm almost going to the third month. And it's a big challenge to just be away from my family for that long time. Every time I call my children, they are crying and they're asking me, "Daddy, when are you coming home?" They want me home. But the burden of the ministry in my heart is also very demanding. There is need for me to come to Kadet and just talk about the mind of God. What is God's desire for us as a church? Because we are one family, we are one church, regardless of where we are. We are blood bought. Amen. Amen. We don't have two churches. We don't have two baptisms. We don't have two hopes. We are not called into two different homes. No. We have the same Father. We are children of God. We are bought by the blood of Jesus. And we are called home in heaven to spend our eternity with our Father. There is therefore need for me to sacrifice, to lay down some of this time, to be away from them, so that I can be available for you. Amen. And I will soon be back and be with them and continue serving Jesus. I would want to share the word of God this morning, and then I will say briefly about the mission work in Kenya. And in my case, I will be here speaking about the work I'm doing in Kenya. You don't have to go and see me on the other side like he's just announced, our brother has just announced. I will say my case right here. And I'll request Papa Charlie to prepare to say a word. And because we have worked together, he understands more of what I say. And I'm really, really proud to have him say a word and encourage us to come along and support the work we are doing in Africa. Charlie Murphy is this man seated right here. I know some of you know him, some of you don't. I love Charlie Murphy and Mama Janice. They have become my father and my mother in America. They take good care of me. They feed me. They take me places. And I have really I've really found a home in their midst, and I'm so proud of them. Together with them is Brother Chuck and Mama Vicky, who have also become very close friends of mine. I met Vicky on Facebook, and we've been chatting, and when I came over, we met, and she's become also a sweetheart, and I am such a precious friend. I appreciate you, Vicky and Chuck. You are such an encouragement. Praise the Lord. I met the fellowship on Wednesday. I remember that evening we came by with my sister Barb, and we were looking for the church, and we went round many times because we could get to the road and we are not seeing the church. And the GPS would tell us, "You have arrived." And we say, "How can we have arrived? We are in the middle of nowhere." So we drove back to the junction over there, drove that way, But I say to her, Bob, I think we were at the right place. Please let's go back right there. The church is somewhere there. But we would come over and she would tell me, these are private homes. This is not church. We went back again. She wasn't persuaded. But then we came the third time. And I told her, I feel in my spirit that the church is somewhere. And we came over. We appreciate that prayer fellowship that we found here. We found very sweet brothers and sisters. They loved on us, and we will never forget that. The Lord bless you for availing yourself for the time of prayer. Praise the Lord. So I want to speak to you a word God has put in my heart. Which son are you becoming? Which son are you becoming? John chapter number 1, verse number 11, 12. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Those that have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior have received power to become. They don't become, like you don't just become instantly a son of God. But you are given an enabling grace to go through the process of becoming, transiting from being a child of God to a son of God. This word become is the same word that is used when the Bible says, and the two shall become one flesh. It takes time for the man and the woman to become. It takes time for a child of God to grow up, even to become a son. And God has given the Holy Spirit to raise us up, so that when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we grow quickly from children to sons. The process could be very demanding, but the demand is worth it, because you cannot be entrusted some of the kingdom privileges until you grow up to become a son. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Brethren, it takes sons to build the family. The family name is grown by sons. It is, when we talk about the Murphy's family, Murphy's sons carry the name to the next generation, to the next generations, to the next generations. Now, the same case applies to the kingdom of God. It is the sons that carry the name of their father to the next generation. That means that if we do not grow up to become sons, the family can simply come to an end. The church must keep growing, and the only way to grow is to grow children to sons, so that sons will grow to be fathers. Fathers are mentors. Fathers are source and sustainers. They are able to raise and bring up people to continue with the business of our father. Now, sonship, when we talk about sons, sons have something very strong to do with authority. Are they subject to the father? The quality of a son that you become depends on your ability to take orders from your father. Jesus said, the son can do nothing except that which he sees the father do. He was not on his own. And you know what the Bible says in Philippians? That though he was God, he did not consider equality with God as anything. But he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself so low. He came so low so that he would be able to depend on God continually to achieve his mission on earth. What kind of a son are you now that you receive Jesus Christ as Lord? What kind of a son are you becoming? Are you able to take orders? Are you walking in the Word of God? That's really what I come to share with you today. Amen. Amen. Now we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. We receive him as a priest and a king. We receive him as a Savior who forgives our sin. But we also receive him as Lord who takes control of our lives from that moment forward. The wise men brought him gold to say that he is a king. They also brought him incense to say he is a priest. They brought him myrrh to say that he will die once for our sin. So we receive Jesus to have our sins forgiven and to have him take control. That is what sonship is all about. Many of the people across generations have received Jesus, who is just a Savior. But they don't take orders. He is not their Lord. What he says is his own. They are only forgiven. And that is a terrible situation. Now, Matthew chapter 21 is a very lovely chapter that I would want to walk with you. Just a few verses, and I'll be done. I'll tell you that you must become responsible sons, and I'll be gone. I'll be good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now Matthew chapter 21 brings the picture of Jesus the King. Jesus never showed himself a lot as a man in authority. He presented himself always as a servant. But in chapter 21, we see him in the first place entering into Jerusalem on the colt, and men and women singing, you know, laying down their garments and singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He came into Jerusalem as a king. Now, he goes straight into the temple. And when he gets into the temple, he puts the temple in order. That day, they were busy doing stuff. But he said, "Guys, you must know that the owner of the house is around." He put the house in order. He put the house in order because he owns the church. Allow me to submit to you, brethren, that Cadet Baptist has an owner. Amen. This church has its owner. He demonstrated such authority over the church. He began with the nation. He came to the church. And then he left the church. And on his way out, he saw a fig tree and he was hungry, and he went close to wait looking for fruit, but there was no fruit. He spoke words of authority over the tree, and the tree died to say that he's also king over nature. The winds, the storms, the sea, the clouds, everything is subject to the lordship of Jesus Christ. When the tree died, means the tree heard the words of the king and it just died. Praise the name of the Lord. So they asked him, "In whose authority are you doing these things? In whose authority are you doing these things?" And Jesus said to them, just before I answer your question, I want to ask you a question. John the Baptist, his baptism, in whose authority did John the baptism operate? Is it in the authority of men or is it in the authority of God? Oh. They went aside and said, man, if we say that his authority came from God, he will ask us, why didn't you believe him then? If we say that his authority came from people, these people are going to stone us. They will kill us. So they came back to him and said to him, sorry, we don't think we know from. And he said to them, I'm sorry, I won't also tell you in whose authority I operate. Instead, he gives a story, and that story is what I want us to read. Are you ready for the story? Let's read the story. It's in Matthew chapter number 21. I thank God there is a Matthew here, so it is well with us. From verse number 28, can we have it on the screen? Matthew chapter 21, from verse 28, do we have that provision? Okay, no problem. They say back home that Americans got accent. When I come to America, they say, Africans got accent. And when I got to Europe, they say Africans got accent. And in Europe, I tell them, you guys got accent. And I wondered, who got accent? So, may I ask that, my brother, can you read me? From verse number 21, chapter 21, verse 28, and
just verse 28.
Just keep reading. I will tell you when to stop.
But what do you think? A man has two sons, and he came to the first son, and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. let's pray for the word of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you break down this word down to a level that each one of us can understand. I ask that, Lord, you send your Holy Spirit to make it strong in our hearts, that which we must understand today. I yield to you, Holy Spirit, that you use me today for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, for the first time, the Bible is seeking our opinion. The Bible is asking, but what do you think? So we go through a short story and we can tell what we think. Many times the Bible says, this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. But today it's saying, what do you think? It's a good opportunity to express our opinion. But it says, a man had two sons. A man had two sons. And I thought, God also has two sons. God has an Adam, and he has a Jesus. God has a Jacob, he has an Esau. God has a prodigal son number one and prodigal number two. The Bible is a book of two sons. They are duplicated across the scriptures. Two sons. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first one and said to him five things. Let me see you lift up your left hand. Your left hand. Okay. The first finger says, son. And then he says, go today and work in the vineyard. How many things? Five. Number one, son, go today, work in the vineyard. This is what the father said. If you are my son, if you are my son, be you spoke to us this morning and read the scripture that the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are children of God. As many as received him, he gave power to become the children of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says they are the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. Son, do we have an identity? Do we identify with God? If we are sons of God, this is our message. If the church belongs to God, this is our message. Because it is, who is this message addressed to? It is addressed to sons. Anybody who is a son in the house has a business to listen to. The father is speaking. He says, son, go. Go. Jesus introduces us to three major highways of our faith. I call them three major highways. The highway number one, I say, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavily burdened, and I'll give you rest. So the church has people that are coming in from the world. They are coming to receive rest. When they come into the house, Jesus says to them, now follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The second highway is the highway of following, that we may become, we may be made the fishers of men. Amen. Meaning the last product, the end product that we become by following Jesus, we become fishers of men. Amen. We do not become church members. Allow me to tell you that when we follow Jesus, we do not become church members. The Bible has not one word I've seen. Maybe I need to check out very well. But I have not seen anywhere the Bible talks about church members. Church membership is just a religious thing that came and has caught many people so that they are just good church members, but they do not become what ultimately God expects us to become. What God wants out of us is that we become fishers of men. God wants to get hold of all cadets, and he wants to use you and me to reach out to every house. We must knock on every door again. We must tell them about Jesus, because when we follow Jesus, we become fishers of men. Hallelujah. And finally, the third highway is go and make disciples of all nations. So we are either coming, or we are following, or we are going. Where are you? Where are you in your faith? Are you coming to the Lord, or are you following him to become, or are you going to the nations? Please ask your neighbor, are you anywhere? If you are nowhere, then you are lost. Don't follow me, I'm lost also. Right on your, right behind you. But you must be in either of these. So son, go, go, go. I came to say to you, it's time to go. The Baptist Church is known for going. You have been known over the years as the church that went into every door, knocking and talking about Jesus. The Baptist Church has been known as that church that knocked every door, giving, you know, all kind of Bible materials, giving Bibles, making sure that the neighborhood is saturated with the power of the Word of God. But a time has come, and like you are slowing down and Jehovah's Witnesses are overtaking you, I came to tell you, arise and keep going. Arise and keep going. Go, go, go. Praise the name of the Lord. The third thing the Father said, Son, go. He says, when? 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 When are we going? When are we going to send the message of the cross? When are we going to reach out to our neighbors? When are we going to reach out to nations? When is it supposed to be? The Father is saying, today is the day of salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. We don't have many days. We don't have authority over many days, but we have authority over today. At least we have today. Let's go out for Christ today. Let's not procrastinate it again. Let's not push it to tomorrow again. We never know about tomorrow, but we know about today. This is the day we must engage in mission work in a more aggressive way than we have ever been. Today is a day that we must receive an anointing to keep going. Those of us who have slowed down, Bible says, blessed is the servant whose master will find him working. You cannot slow down. You cannot, you may need to retire, but you cannot give up the work. We cannot slow down. We can only become mentors. We encourage the younger generation, go. It is your time to go. Let's send them. Let's give them resources to go. Let's give them the motivation to go. But we cannot slow down because the devil is not slowing down. Amen. We cannot beat a devil that is working 24/7 while we work 2 hours on a Sunday morning. That cannot work. We must arise in Africa. We must arise in the United States. We must arise in Europe, in Asia, everywhere. Everybody must arise. Jesus must be made known, much more known than Coca-Cola. Amen. We must make him known. We must make him known. And we must not be ashamed of him. Because if we are ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of us before his Father. I will not be ashamed. I will speak about him. I will talk about him. I talk about him in Walmart. Take me to Home Depot, I'll be talking about him. Take me to Hardo House, I'll be talking about Jesus. I will not be ashamed of him. I will not be ashamed of him. Hallelujah. I remember 2017, I was here, and we were having some coffee in the morning at McDonald's. And standing on the queue to receive our coffee, this gentleman that was standing behind us said to us, I think you're a man of God. Said, yes, we are. What can we do for you? He said to us that I have an appointment with the doctor. I have a condition. And I just felt in my spirit that if you pray for me, it shall be well with me. Said, you believe it? My goodness. We walked out of the queue, out of the line, and stood just beside the people. And we held our hands together and we closed our eyes and prayed in the name of Jesus. We said, Lord, this man believes if we pray for him, he is gonna be well. Do it, O God. Do it, O God, in Jesus' name. And we opened our eyes and continued taking our coffee. 3 weeks after I left for Africa, this man wrote me an email telling me, I went to the doctor and he examined me and he said the problem I was suffering cannot be traced anywhere. it cannot be traced. When are we going? We will go today, because this is the miracle day. This is the day we must reach out to the people. This is the day we must speak about Jesus unashamed. When are we going? We are going today. The devil says tomorrow. We say, devil, you're a liar. Amen. Even when you seem to be so innocent, you're still lying. Even when you seem to have a nice smile, you are still a liar. This is the day. Let us arise as cadets. Today is the day. We must reach out to our neighbors. No other neighbor should go down the grave having not heard the message. Amen. Glory to God. No matter who they are, let's talk to them about Jesus. Amen. So, son, go. Work. No, today, the fourth command was work. Work. Brethren, allow me to submit to us that the church has only one assignment. The church has only one work to do. Away with the devil, who has given us a lot of work and made us very busy doing works. We are not called for works. We are called for work. John 6:28, the Bible says, they asked him, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? And Jesus said to them, this is the work of God. I mean, singular. This is the work of God, that we believe in him whom he has sent. Our work is simply to believe. Work. The church has been put into works. And we have been busy doing works. The church finally became a humanitarian organization. Not giving life, but giving substance, giving all manner of things, yet not giving Jesus. So that we have this beautiful food pantry, but in the food pantry, we don't speak about Jesus. We don't tell men, we're giving you food for your stomach today, but Jesus can give you that which will keep you going to life everlasting. So when we do not use the food pantry to reach out to the souls, it becomes just works. Just works. Non-governmental organization. Red Cross. What is our work? This is our work, to propagate our family. The family of faith. Our business is to ensure that everyone hears the gospel. Hears the gospel. The church has preoccupied itself with so much study and research about the end time signs, when is Jesus coming, while doing nothing about the gospel. Matthew 24:14, Jesus answered a question. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming? Matthew 24:3. Jesus said to them, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations as a witness, and then the end shall come. Jesus is not coming until all America has heard the gospel. Let me repeat that again. Maybe I'll receive an amen this time. Jesus is not coming until the world has heard the gospel. He's not coming. Let's not be busy. Let's not be busy talking about his coming while we are seated and doing nothing about witnessing. Let's preoccupy ourselves with the preaching of the gospel. Let's ensure that we are speaking of him, speaking about him, going out of our way and saying what we must say. Because that is what we are called to do. Yes, the church wants to go. And the rapture has become the headlines of everybody. Rapture, rapture, rapture. Let me tell you, There are tribes in Africa that have not heard about Jesus. It will be unfair for Jesus to judge them having not heard the gospel. So he is not coming. Instead of wasting our time thinking about when and how, can we spend our time thinking of what we were called to do? Hallelujah. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. Allow me to speak from an African perspective. America is best placed in reaching the world for Christ. Let me repeat that again. America stands on a platform of advantage when it comes to mission work. God has blessed America. You are blessed. It's not, we don't need to think twice, but this nation is blessed. This nation is feared all over the world. Every nation will open a door for America. It is a struggle for us from Africa to preach in some nations, because we seem like the little dogs, and no. There are many missionaries in Africa, I know. They would want just to go out and preach for Christ. But the doors are like, no. But being born an American gives you an advantage over the world. To whom much is given, much is required. You must arise now and go. You must arise. You must not waste any more time. Because why God has lifted this nation up here is for his purpose. God took Joseph to Egypt and made him a prime minister in Egypt, not for his own sake, but for the sake of the kingdom. And like Joseph, America must arise and feed the world with the word of God. We must have an overflow of missionaries flowing from this nation to different destinations in the world, because God has given you that grace. Now, instead of this nation arising and taking advantage of the fact that we have an opening, we have an open door before us, America is busy going into every nation for tourism. Oh my goodness, this nation is a touring nation. And I've come to tell you that is not the work. It could be a by the way. But our main work is witnessing. Glory to God. All the resources God has put into your hands are for his glory.
That's right.
Are for his glory. It is true. We are not born Americans by choice. It's by God's desire. I am born African by God's design. And I appreciate that so much. So God placed you up here for the work. Up here for the work. What do you think about an 80% of a national population jobless? What do you think? While we all can do two, three jobs. You can do as many jobs because God has given you an opportunity. What about pastoring a church in which out of the 100 believers, only one is employed? All the others are struggling to make ends meet. That is the situation. That is the situation. It is different here. Why has God made it different? For us to work. Work. Let's go back to work. Let's come back to work. Listen, While you are not, while the church is not busy working, the devil is busy working. You cannot believe the kind of impact in the poor countries of Africa that Islam is having. Because Muslims have poured all oil money to Islamize Africa. They are ready to do anything to win the masses to Islam. They set up big hospitals, they give free treatment, and they will write an inscription at the door, "Allah has given you free treatment." Allah. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus, brothers? Where are the people? Where are the sons that are supposed to promote the name of Jesus? They are nowhere. In the month of April this year, one American pop singer sent into Africa $100 billion to ensure that they propagate what do we call these guys who say there is no God? Atheism. What do you think about $100 billion to finance atheism in Africa? Atheism. And I say, where is the church? Where are our big brothers? Why are we dying here? Why are we, you know, because they are taking our children and telling them, you don't need God, you don't need God. They go to the universities and they will pay big money to be given forums to speak to the students. Because atheism, the devil is working, he's financing. There's a lot of cash flow into the enemy's camp. The church is just holding their little resources and saying, praise the Lord, we are going to heaven. We are not going to heaven until we preach the gospel. Amen. The witnessing, the kingdom witnessing is our work. We must talk about Jesus. And listen, God does not have a plan B. He does not. Either the church will do it or they do it. No plan B. You remember the rich man? You remember the rich man crying from hell? And you know what a suggestion he is making? Can God send some angels? Can you send somebody from heaven to come and reach out to my brothers? Was that endorsed? Did the heaven agree to send an angel? What did the heaven say? No. No. Bill is here. Anton is here. Chuck is here. If they cannot hear them, even if an angel came from heaven, they will not hear. So the heaven continued to say, the church is the agent of God on earth to propagate the gospel. Period. We are the people. And our major business is to make our Father happy. Our major business is to make our Father excited. Now, only one thing I've read in the Bible that makes God excited. The Bible says there is great joy in heaven when one sinner turns from their wickedness into righteousness. There is joy in heaven. If cadet wants to make God happy, just have one man turn from their wicked way to righteousness, and the heaven will be very excited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the work of God, that we believe in him whom he has sent. Let's work. If we are not winning souls, we are not working. If we are not working to ensure that we win souls, we are not in the kingdom business. The kingdom business is winning the world to Christ. I still believe that heaven will have more people than hell. Let me repeat that. I still believe that heaven will have more people. It will be packed to the brim. Hell will not. God has never lost a battle. He's never lost a battle. And he will not lose this one. The devil will not have more. Remember, governance is about numbers. Why Trump beat this wonderful lady? Why did Trump beat her? Numbers. So when we think about kingdom, we must think numbers. Amen. The Bible is a book of numbers. We even have a whole book called Numbers. Our God must beat the devil in numbers. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So what we'll be working is to ensure that numbers, thousands are turning to God. Thousands are turning to God. And when the kingdom of God shall finally come, we will be many. We will be many. We will be countless. Like the sand in the sea. Like the stars in the sky. We will be many. Father Abraham has many sons. I am one of them. We are a big family. We are a big family. And each one of us must endeavor to give birth to more. To give birth to more. Give birth to more. Give birth to more. Praise the name of the Lord. Work. Finally, son, go today. Work. Where? Where? In the vineyard. What is God's vineyard, really? Wherever we are in God's vineyard. In the little office where we work, that's God's vineyard. Why God has allowed you in that office is that you stand there as his ambassador. Hallelujah. And you can tell everybody, when you see me, see the kingdom of my Father. I'm an ambassador. I speak for him. I propagate his agenda in this office. Amen. As Americans, in this county, in this particular area, you are God's ambassadors. You are the representatives of the interest of God. You are the men that God is looking at. You are the women that God is looking at to be able to continue lifting up the flag of heaven. Jesus must be known. Jesus must be loved. He must be believed in every neighborhood that we are in. Jesus talked about Jerusalem. We are ambassadors in Jerusalem. But let me tell you, the neighborhood has a way of destroying you. Just like it had a way of destroying Jesus. You know that though he was the Son of God, he never did much in his own hometown. Because home ground has a way of destroying its own champions. They say, we know him. He's our little boy. we know her. She's our little girl. And they can demean you. Imagine what they talked about Jesus, the Son of God. They didn't see him as the Savior of the world. They saw him as a village boy born to Mary and Joseph. Vineyard. Jesus said, if they don't receive you in this village, go to the next. If they don't receive you into the next, go to the next. He will not return you having gone into every village. You must understand you are a great potential. You are a giant of faith. You have been sitting on this pew for years. The word of God has been spoken to you. It is time for you to go out and speak what you have heard. Speak what you have heard. Make sure other people hear what you have heard. What you heard and saved your life. Make sure that you are speaking it to the nations of the world. Make sure you are speaking it. Go beyond boundaries. Go and represent Christ. Hallelujah. In the vineyard. We have a huge vineyard. And John 4:35, the Bible says, lift up your eyes. 34, he says, you guys say it is yet 4 months to the harvest. 35 says, but lift up your eyes and look at the field. They are white, ready for harvest. The world is white, ready for harvest. The world is white, ready for harvest. Africa is ready for you. They may not recognize you here, but get to Africa, you become the great evangelist. You come back home with a title, pastor, evangelist, apostle, and they call you nothing at home. There is room for you. There is business for you as a person. And God is counting on you. I came to say to you, if truly you are the right son, arise now and go. Now, as we conclude, back to our story. The father went to the firstborn son and said to him 5 things. Come on, let's go back together again. What did he say? Forget it. Count me out. I'm not gonna do it. But then the Bible says, he later thought, what did I tell Daddy? Did I just say that I can't go? Did I say that I can't? He took his farm tools, ran into the garden or into the field and did the work. So when the father was frustrated by the first son, the Bible says that he went to the second and said to him the same thing. Somebody say with me, the same thing. Somebody say with me, the same thing. He said the same thing. God will not have to repeat what he has already said. That's why the Bible uses the word the same thing. Look at Jonah. Jonah, when he was ready to go, God did not say, now let me repeat the assignment. No, no repeating. It is the same thing I told you. It is just the same thing. I did not come here to repeat the assignment. I've just come to say to you the same thing. He said to the second son the same thing. The second son said, yes, Daddy. Praise the Lord, Daddy. Consider the job done. You know I'm a good boy. You know I do not argue with you. Be sure. Be sure the job is done. But the Bible says he never went. He's a good boy talking, but terrible at heart. Which son are you? The first son says, I won't, but then changes his mind and goes. The second boy says, oh, Daddy, like a good Christian, it will be done. Hallelujah. It will be done. But that has been the song. Since 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Yes, Daddy. Have you ever made a step forward to go? No. But what is your word? Consider it done. Daddy, it shall be done. I'll be doing it. What is this kind of a heart that is so religious, but disobedient at heart? Away with that devil that has bound many Christians who say so much and do. Look at your walk against your talk. What have you been talking and what have you been doing? I came to call on Cadet. Enough of talking. It is time to act. The Bible does not have the talk of the apostles. It has the acts of the apostles. We must arise now and go. We must arise and begin making sure that things are happening for Christ, to the glory of his name. So the father asks a question. Now Jesus asked a question. Who of the two did the will of the Father? Back to your opinion. I throw the ball to you. Who among the two sons did the will of the Father? Is he the first boy that looks bad, but he is good at heart? Or is it the second boy who looks good at speaking, but terrible? Who did the will of the Father? The first boy. The church will never hear, in any decent church, you will never hear a no. People don't say no. People will always tell the pastor, hallelujah, pastors, preach it. We will do it. We are in trouble as a church because we have not been able to say no. Even right now as I'm talking, nobody can say, no, I won't go. It is very difficult for us to say no. We have this inclination to say yes. And that puts us in trouble now that our yes may not translate into anything. And the Bible says that they will come to Jesus and he will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. May God have mercy on us today that prostitutes and the tax collectors will not enter into the kingdom of God before us. But we that have been in church all these years find ourselves thrown out because we were good in talking, yet doing nothing. Africa is calling. Africa is crying. And I'm there preaching the gospel and speaking to the remotest tribes in Africa. The Lord has given me a burden to reach the most marginalized. Deep, deep, deep in the woods, places where some of the people have never gotten into a car. Place where dressing is still a challenge. And the Lord has told me they are people and they need the message. That is what I'm doing in Africa. I'm preaching in churches deep in the village with very high percentage of unemployment, poor farmers doing very little with 2 acres piece of land, planting corn and waiting for a whole year. That is their income. That is what they live by. That's their food, their clothes, the school for their children. Those are my church members. They are my sons and daughters. And I love them. I came to the United States to ask for a friend who can come with me to the villages of Africa. I'm looking for a young man. I'm looking for an elderly man that can walk with me to the villages and talk about Jesus. My one business, talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. And God is helping me to do that. Would you be willing to come along? I'll be happy to walk with you. I know God never brought me here in vain. There is a bigger purpose for coming to Kadet. We may never know many things, but in future we will say, now we know why Daniel needed to come to our church. I know it shall be so in the name of the Lord. But what do you think? What kind of a son are you? Do you need to repent the sin of saying yes when you meant no? You may need to do that. I also at some point need to tune up and become what I say and do what I say. Each one of us has a business to shape up and to become the right son. Remember, we will not hear well done until we have done well. God's well done is not cheap. God's well done is not religious. It's not just a wholesale well done. Oh, well done, cadet. No. It is well done, good and faithful servant. Servant, not servants. Servant, look at your Bible. Enter into the joy of your Father. This thing is personal. And there are three things you can do. You can go personally, put your life on the line for Jesus' sake. Two, you can pray. You can pray. Those of us who do not have the strength and the ability to go, it is our time to keep praying. Oh God, may Africa be saved. May Australia be saved. May America be saved. We pray that God will send his spirit across the nations and bring many to himself. Three, you can send us. You can put finances to pay for our air tickets. And we will fly all over the world. We will do anything. Some of us are crazy boys. I drive from my country. I drive from Kenya through Tanzania, down to Malawi, down to Zambia, down to Mozambique. And in one trip, I do like 5,000 miles and get back home talking about Jesus, talking about Jesus, talking about Jesus. Some of us need just some gas to fuel our little van, and we'll be good to go. We'll be talking about Jesus. Amen. So if you are able to go, go. If you are not able to go, pray or send. Three things. But you cannot be neutral. You cannot be off the game. You cannot say, I'm just a believer in God. Me, I'm going to heaven. You may miss it. Even that heaven which you are saying you are going, you may be told no. No, you are a bad boy. You are a bad girl who did nothing while you were so endowed with everything you needed. Glory to God. May I end with a story? Do you love stories? A story, one story? Praise the Lord. A trainer who trains an Air Force team to land on parachutes from very, high levels or from great heights, took a team of 12 for a session, for a training session. And the plane took off and flown about 10,000 feet above the ground. And the pilot says, "We are ready. Prepare the team." So the trainer said to the team, "Listen to me carefully. This is the way we are going to do things. When it comes to your turn, you will stand up. Number two, pick up your parachute. Number three, fit it so well. Make sure that you fit it very well. Number four, jump." So, four things. You will arise. Two, pick your parachute. Number three, fit it very well. Make sure that this is your safety kit. So if it is not well fitted, you are 10,000 feet above the ground, anything miserable can happen to you. You must fit it really very well. And then number four. Okay, let me find you. Number one. Arise. Number two. Number three. Fit it very well. Number four. So he went up and then he said, now, number one, are you ready? Number one, are you ready? Remember, it is one, two, three, and then four. One, two, number three, and four. It became a sweet song. So he said, number one, he arose quickly. Number two, he said, two, he picked up his safety kit. Number three, fitted very well. Number four, he said, number two, one, two, three, four. Soldier number three, one, two, three, four. Now, it became like a, it became such a nice music. One, two, three. When number five woke up, he was already soaked up in the song. One, two, He woke up not remembering it is not a song. These are orders of doing things. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This boy woke up and in the spirit of the song, one, two, oh, three, four, one, he woke up, never did anything but jumped. Because he was fooled by the rhythm. He jumped out of it, having not done three important things, or two very important things. He never picked his kit. He never fitted it very well. He just woke up and, what shall we do to save him? Is there anything that can be done for him? He's gone. He's gone and gone forever, never to be remembered. Listen, church is about coming. You arise, you get to know Jesus, you receive him as Lord. By then, you are born again. Number two, now, church is arise when you are born physically. Two is picking the safety kit, which is Jesus. The only thing that will keep you above safe, right in the air, Jesus. Three is fit it very well. Don't just be a church member. Fit it very well. Fit this faith very well. Make sure you are faithful tither. Make sure that you are growing your prayer life. Make sure you are growing your understanding of the scriptures. Make sure that you are confessing the right thing. Make sure that you fit it very well so that you are not just a Christian. You are a proper Christian. And then the fourth thing, after you have fitted Jesus very well, we will say to you, rest in peace. You go. So you are born in the physical, you take Jesus, and then you live by faith, and then go. Don't be swallowed by the song. It is not a song. This is not a song. It is a serious life-saving business. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Anybody who jumps out of the ship, out of the craft, without Jesus, they are lost forever. And there is no amount of prayer. Even when you die and we have this big mass for you, when you make serious prayers, all the pastors come with their official robes and they anoint your body with oil and water, and you are gone. You woke up and jumped out. So listen, it is be born, yes, in the physical, be born in the spirit, take Jesus, fit him very well, be a faithful man, be a faithful woman, be a good believer in Jesus, be an obedient son, and then you can go. You can actually say like Simeon, who said, now Lord, you can let your servant go in peace, for my eyes have seen. May the Lord God bless you as you become the son you must become. May the hand of the Lord be upon you as you become what you must become. Glory to God. When we go, we pray over the sick. And you could be here struggling with a condition. And we can pray with you and believe God for your healing. Are you there? You're not born again. You've never given Jesus your life. Jesus does not just come into your heart by force. You are the one that opens the door for him. Hallelujah. Coming to church does not make you a child of God. No. They said to me back home that Equator is an imaginary line that cuts across the earth. And my house is about 30 minutes to Equator. The first time as a child I was driving along the road and I saw this signpost, you are now crossing the Equator. I was looking for it. I was, where? I didn't see it. They told me Equator is an imaginary line. Now, salvation is not an imaginary line. You don't imagine that you are just saved. Salvation is a personal act of saying, me opening my heart for Jesus. On this particular day, I gave Jesus my life. Could you be here and you're not born again and you would want to do that today? We will pray with you right away as I come to the end. Could you be sick in your body? We can pray with you and the Lord sets you free. Are you there? There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power to heal. There is power to set you free. There is power. Not born again, and you'd want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Finally, are you here in our midst and you feel like you need a fresh visitation? You feel like, man, I don't want to be like that son who said I never did. I need God to help me from this day. And I want to take it upon myself to propagate the business of my Father's kingdom. Are you that person? We can also make a short prayer for you. Just looking for a visitation, a revival within you. God is ready to pour a fresh spirit upon you and to make you a more effective witness for his glory. Amen. Are you there? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Come.